Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Jay are delighted to welcome along Andrew Patterson to go over what has been a fantastic week for the football club, a 2-0 victory over St Johnstone in the Scottish Premiership, followed by sealing our place in the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup with a 2-0 victory over Dundee. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers, evening.
Andy, I'll mix it up this week and start with yourself. And we'll look back firstly upon the excellent 2-0 victory over Dundee in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. First and foremost, in recent times, it's been difficult to get excited about the Cups, I suppose, because we've not lasted long enough in them to gain any momentum or any excitement. But the League Cup has pushed us on, obviously falling at the final hurdle there. Now into the last eight of the Scottish Cup, we're becoming, or it seems like we're becoming, somewhat of a cup side just now.
Yes, it's strange sometimes how that can happen, that it almost takes a run to give a team belief. If you look back in history, and there's quite a few occasions where, you know, maybe teams have made a final and then they've followed it up with another final or a couple of semi-finals in quick succession. Our last kind of season, if I remember rightly, we reached a cup final, 2011 was it, we'd also reached the semi-final of the League Cup that same season as well. So sometimes it just takes that bit of belief that you can overcome teams to, you know, make that progression into the latter rounds. And there's when you look at the teams that we've taken care of in the Cups this season, I mean, there should be no reason why we're not confident going into these Cup ties. I think that was is it five or something? The teams we've beaten in Cup competitions this season have all been top flight teams, and some of those have been away fixtures as well. So, you know, there should be every confidence amongst the players that they're certainly capable of making another fist of getting to another final this season.
Jay, Dundee came into that game in the back of a very disappointing defeat to Ross County, or perhaps slightly low in confidence, but Dens Park, never an easy place to go. It was a tight game earlier on in the season as well, where we ground out a 1-0 victory. We've got to be very satisfied that we're going to these places and progressing. For me, Saturday, I would have almost been quite content with a replay, such as poor results in the past at Dens Park, and also just how difficult traditionally it is to go there. So, yeah, fantastic there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's easy to kind of get a wee bit carried away, particularly when we were doing so well earlier on in the season, and again since the turn of the year. When you look at some of the teams, you know, perhaps from sixth position down, it's maybe easy to kind of take ourselves out of the group with the likes of Dundee, Accies, Ross County, and sort of, I don't know, look at them as the lesser sides, which, don't get me wrong, on paper I think they are. I think when we play those kind of teams, we should be looking to win. But those are teams that, you know, do cause us problems. Accies have beaten us this season. Ross County have beaten us this season. It's, you know, they are difficult teams to play against, even if there is this kind of presumption that they're a lesser side. Dens Park, a difficult place to go. We obviously got the win in the league there earlier on in the season. So, you know, to go there, a cup tie, obviously, is a completely different type of match, completely different type of atmosphere. You've also got to factor in, you know, just the kind of the side shows going on as well, particularly with Nadir Chiefche. It was, you know, question marks over how he would handle the occasion. It was never going to be in doubt that the Dundee fans were going to be on his back. I think you can see from some of the fouls that were getting dished out, I think it was perhaps, you know, a little bit of the game plan for Dundee was, you know, maybe get a wee rise out of him. They probably succeeded. You know, I think there could be a debate that he might have picked up a second booking, Chiefche. But I think by and large, his temperament was good. He was focused on the game. He was involved. You know, in a lot of the good things we did, should have had a goal, which I'm raging about because I had him anytime goal scorer. Obviously, set up Tanner for his finish as well. So I think all in all, it was just a really, really good performance. I was quite surprised when I watched the highlights back at just how, you know, how good, not how good Dundee looked, but, you know, in terms of chances created, they certainly looked far better than I thought, because over the 90 minutes, I'd never really felt as though we weren't in control. I thought we, maybe strolling it is too extreme a phrase, but I thought that we were more than worth our win. I know Neil McCann was suggesting that they should have got something out of the game, but I have to disagree. Whether it's Claret and Amber specs or not, I'm not sure, but I thought we were in control at the back. You know, Charles Dunn in particular has, I've never been, you know, disappointed in him. I think he's gotten a bad rap at times. I think he's been a solid enough defender, but I think since the turn of the year, he's been phenomenal. Cedric Kiepre gets better and better. Tom Aldred is slotted in there. So from the back to the front, I just thought we were really, really worth a win. And as Andy says, you know, we're in a really good position this season to look at the Scottish Cup and really fancy our chances of progressing.
That is Chiefche, Andy. He's come in at quite a low point in his career. Things were clearly not working out at Plymouth. He's moved to Celtic, hasn't worked out. He's had various loan spells. It was in Turkey as well. And just hasn't managed to rediscover that spark that took him to Celtic. At Dundee United, he was a player that the staff at Motherwell clearly really liked, and they remained big fans of him, given they tried to get him in a few transfer windows prior to eventually managing to seal the deal in January. There was questions about his mentality, questions about his temperament, but for me, I've been very impressed by the way he's come in, and not only the way he's come in, the enthusiasm he speaks about playing for Motherwell when it seems like he's in a very good place, and he perhaps just needed to be somewhere where there's someone willing to put their arm round him and maybe tell him how good he is, because it really looks like we've got a player here that could become a massive, massive part of our squad.
Exactly that. We were having a similar discussion going up to Dens on Saturday, and one of the guys had come away with the phrase that he just needs to be loved, and that sums it up perfectly. The arm round the shoulder treatment, very much the case that he's responded to what appears to be the perfect environment from him. I mean, I think you discussed it previously, but I was struck by how, from the trip to Canary Islands, how much he just, or how quickly he had settled in. It just looked so natural in that bit of footage that were there, as if he'd been there for, you know, like a year or 2 years rather than like 3-4 days or however long it'd been. And I think that's a testament to the setup that we have at the club, where guys can come in, and Curtis Mayne has remarked upon it the same thing, that he knew within a few days that this was the perfect move for him, that the club was perfect place, that everybody had made them so welcome. And you hear it repeatedly about people when they come to the club, that they refer to not only like the teammates, the management, but the backroom staff. So clearly there is a lot of work has been invested, a lot of time invested in getting things in the right mentality so that players such as that can come in and flourish. And we've seen the benefit in the park. I think he's still got a good way to go until he reaches full fitness. I mean, there's, I'm having the most sprightly and, guys myself, but sometimes you look at me and think he's Tony Caravan when he's kind of shunting about there. But his touch is fantastic. His partnership that developing with
the other creative players in the team, like Tanner, as you mentioned, for the goal. For Curtis Main, you know, within a few minutes of their debut, they combined for, you know, win the penalty. It's just that it bodes really well. It was good to see him get off the mark against Thistle, and hopefully he can get another one. Does, at occasion, as you say, it does sometimes look as if he's on the verge of kind of losing it, but I also agree that there were times as well that you seen there was noticeable attempts that he didn't go in for a challenge here. He kind of purposely stood back. But over the piece, I've been delighted with his capture. It's definitely been a benefit to us. I've always been of the kind of mindset this season that, as you discussed again, as Jay said earlier, there's not a million miles away from teams from kind of 6th, 5th, down to 11th, 12th. And it was Louis Moult that, in my mind, elevated us above the rest of them. And if we can continue to get the goals that the kind of Moult-Bowman partnership delivered through Curtis Main and Nadir Shifty, then that should be, I'm hoping, sufficient that it's not exactly making it into the top half, then it should certainly be good enough that we don't have any concerns at all in terms of being dragged into any relegation woes. But in terms of Chiefdy, well, very, very happy with the impact that he's made since he signed.
Jay, another aspect to this for me is that a lot of credit should go to the club staff for making Chiefdy feel so welcome. His involvement in interviewing Cedric Kipre after the St Johnstone game, just wee things that he's clearly having a good time, and Motherwell are allowing this to happen. And you feel that by making a player feel so welcome, he settles in much quicker. We get the performance levels that we knew that Nadir Chiefdy was capable of but wasn't actually reaching elsewhere. So that's a very positive, and a lot of credit should go to the media team at Motherwell and the behind-the-scenes staff for facilitating that sort of thing.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think Chiefdy is one of those guys where, I mean, actually, I heard it earlier as well on Clyde Super Scoreboard. I was listening to that before we did the podcast just to remind ourselves how good we are compared to the likes of Hugh Evans and Derek Johnson. But, it was mentioned on there, even just the idea that he's this kind of player that needs to be loved and needs to have, you know, a good kind of solid base around him. And it's easy, I think it's easy and it's perhaps lazy to look at his failed, loan spells recently or his lack of impact at Celtic and to kind of look at some of the hot-headedness he's shown on the park and to make a very kind of quick assumption that they're somehow linked and it's, you know, it's all down to him. And of course it is, he's only going to have as good a career as he wants to have. But there's every chance that he's been at places that just don't suit him. Whether it's the dressing room atmosphere, whether it's just the club itself, whatever it is. And our club is one that you hear it time and time again. Even guys who are leaving, you know, the likes of Louis Moult, who by the time he was speaking still so highly of Motherwell, his deal with Preston was through. He didn't need to, you know, talk us up as much as he does. It's such a regular occurrence that you hear players, both past and present, talk about just how good a club it is, how good the dressing room is. I think you can see just both on and off the park that all the players do get on. The media content sums that up perfectly. And I think it's just, you know, I don't want to start getting ahead of ourselves and thinking that, you know, Chiefdy's going to go on and be reborn as the player that was at Tannadice. But I think that if you're talking about someone who needs to be, you know, needs to feel loved and needs to get along with his teammates and needs to be part of something, then I think we've got to be as good a team as any for that. I would like to think that if he does go on and does, you know, really, really well this season and enjoys it, then, you know, who knows what may happen after the summer.
Well, go on and we'll look at the victory over St Johnstone in the midweek. Again, a fixture that tends to be quite tight. Certainly in recent times it has been. Though I would say that Tuesday night was possibly the most comfortable victory over St Johnstone we've had in perhaps about the last 4 or 5 years at least. Andy, the first half was fairly evenly balanced, but the second half we came out the traps very quickly, got the ball down, started playing some nice stuff, and it brought the rewards of two good goals. Great to see Alan Campbell getting on the score sheet for the first time this season, and then that was followed up by Curtis Main's excellent finish, which obviously kept him rolling as well. But again, a fantastic find so far, where the pain of losing Liam Holt has almost been eradicated by how well Main has come in and done. For all the people that were going on his Wikipedia page and doubting that he had any credentials to score goals, they've been quickly proven wrong, that's for sure.
On the game itself, yeah, it was important to get the win. Our record against them has been pretty poor, and certainly over the last 3-4 years. There's always that element of doubt whenever you're coming up against them, just because it's so bad. You have runs against teams where you just can't buy a win, and they seem to be one of those teams. In the end, you're quite correct. It was really, really comfortable. It wasn't a particularly great first half. We came on to our game second half, certainly, and we built up sustained pressure, and it was fully deserved, the win that we got. Again, as you say, it was lovely to see Alan Campbell getting the score sheet and receiving some plaudits after the game as well. There's some nice words from James McFadden that I saw had been attributed to him about the way that Alan's approaches training, and well, we can all see how he approaches games and how influential a figure he can be in terms of creating tempo, winning the ball, and he's adding that attacking element to his game as well. The last few games there's been a couple of good runs, so it's good to see his confidence developing and getting in the end of chances as well. He's really, really encouraging, you know, to see him continue the progression that he's made over the past kind of year or so. Curtis Main, I've been astounded how well he has come in, settled in, and what is particularly pleasing there is there's a whole host, there's a different variety of ways that he's finding the back of the net, you know, from the very kind of clever placed shot that he had against St Johnson. You're seeing efforts, you know, getting in, although the chance was saved, you know, Cherney, the chip over, you know, having the kind of the foresight and getting into position to do the chip over him, although it didn't actually come off. You know, there's been efforts where he's like rattled the ball with some power, cracked the woodwork here and there. You know, there's different kinds of goals that he's scoring, so you can't just like pigeonhole him as a 6-yard kind of finisher or someone that does his work outside the box. They're coming from all different angles, all different places. And he's also, further to that, he's also managed to replicate the work rate that Louis had. And that was a significant thing in our team, particularly when the mindset was that we press from the front and we defend from, you know, as far up the park as we possibly can. So we have him buzzing about, putting blocks in, challenges in here. It sets the tone going back, and perhaps it's no, you can't attribute it, you know, a number of clean sheets down to a centre forward, obviously, but where he sets the tone and you're defending from the front, perhaps it isn't a surprise that we've started accumulating a few more clean sheets as well, where opposition teams aren't getting as many chances through his work rate, you know, that from the others as well. Andy Rose, another one that's kind of rejuvenated a wee bit alongside the previously mentioned Alan Campbell. So a lot of good things brought to the team, both in a defensive and, most importantly, through Curtis Main, an attacking element.
Yeah, Jay, the thing that struck me at the St Johnston game was the intelligence and also the quite stark similarities between Main and Mole. The intelligent snapshot in the first half, just kind of, that was the way that Molt scored so many goals for us. Then there was a shot from outside the box that carried back off the crossbar. And what was even more interesting was his reaction after he scores the second goal. He was perhaps a wee bit frustrated that some of these chances that had went beforehand went in. He wasn't happy with his lot, just getting on the score sheet. So he's a player that clearly strives for better, and that's going to rub off on his teammates as well. It was good to see, for all that he was maybe a wee bit sulky when he scored his own goal, he was absolutely delighted to see Alan Campbell slide that ball into the net. So he's going to have a huge benefit in the team as a whole, notwithstanding the fact that he's scoring in almost every game that he plays in currently.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think we commented it on the match, you know, that just the similarities between himself and Mo are there for everybody to see. And that's not a, you know, that's not a coincidence. You know, Curtis Mayne is someone who apparently we've been after for, you know, a lot longer than just the couple of days or weeks after Mo left. It wasn't a sort of a rushed panic buy or anything like that. He was obviously clearly earmarked as a possible replacement. And I think that's, again, you know, testament to the club and the scouting system and how we're going about our business. And obviously, you know, you want a striker who is going to be annoyed if they miss chances. That's what makes good strikers, you know, that kind of arrogant, that streak, that self-belief. You know, if you're annoyed because you've not got a hat-trick when you think you should have, that's great because it's going to push you on for more. And as you said, it's also going to have a positive impact on his teammates. So I've been, you know, absolutely delighted with Curtis Mayne so far. You know, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about just how many Motherwell fans had written him off before he'd even turned up at Firth Park, just because of his goal scoring record on Wikipedia or Soccer Base or whatever it is people are using for their stats, as though that has any bearing on the impact he's going to have at Motherwell whatsoever. And he's gone on and he's proven them absolutely, you know, proven them completely wrong. He's proven the doubters wrong. He's shown that you can't base your opinions on a player before he's even kicked a ball based on what Wikipedia says. He's been fantastic so far. And I think what's really encouraging is the fact that, you know, sometimes you'll get a player who comes in and they have a wee purple patch, maybe get a wee bit of luck with chances, and then it kind of wears off. But Curtis Mayne, you know, he works so hard. He creates a lot of his own luck. He creates a lot of his own chances. And I don't see anything. You know, it might be a wee bit over the top to expect him to score as frequently as he is doing now. But I certainly don't see a goal drought around the corner. I think he's, you know, got a good partnership with Chiefchi. He's working hard. He's obviously a good striker, getting in the right positions. As you said, he's got a whole kind of arsenal of different, you know, abilities and tools when it comes to taking on shots and creating chances. So I think he's another positive signing this year and a big part of why we've started 2018 so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead, we've got Kilmarnock on Saturday. Also, the possibly should have been mentioned earlier on that the Scottish Cup quarter-final draw threw up a home tie against Hearts. Immediate reaction to that one, Andy, it's obviously, and the amount of times I've said it already tonight, oh, it's traditionally a tough game. Yet again, Hearts is always a difficult game for us. We most recently met them in a 1-1 draw at Tynecastle, scraping a 96-minute equaliser. We'll expect a physical Hearts team to visit, despite what Craig Levein may chat before the game. Difficult one, but being at home, you've got to fancy our chances of progressing into the semi-finals, and then yet again you're knocking at the door of another National Cup final.
Well, when I heard the draw, it kind of took me back to whenever the draw was made for the League Cup quarter-final, and we had Aberdeen at home, and there was an anticipation rather than a fear, and it's exactly the same for this one. A very, very tight tie. I think we're both 1-1 apiece in a draw in the games thus far this season, so there isn't a huge amount between the sides in terms of what's been played out beforehand.
Yeah, both wins by a single goal as well.
Single goal, yep. So we've risen to the occasion in several cup ties this season. Aberdeen, Rangers, Ibrox, Rangers at Hampden, going to Dens and Saturday away. This will hold no fears. Very tight game, but certainly one to be looked forward to, that's for sure.
Jay, it'll be interesting to see the draw thrown up a shock in the sense that both championship sides were both paired with Rangers and Celtic away from home. That's quite frankly staggered me, but the tie, there's three out of the four ties will be televised. Aberdeen play Kilmarnock in the other fixture. It'll be interesting to see which one they choose for television. Personally, I would hope that it remains at 3 o'clock on the Saturday and get as many people through the gate at Firth Park as we possibly can for what will be a tasty cup tie.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't want to mention Clyde One every 2 minutes on the podcast tonight, but again, they were discussing the cup draw, and you know, Hugh Evans and I think Derek Johnson agreed with them that ours is the tie of the round. You know, they didn't even go with Aberdeen Kilmarnock. They suggested ours is the tie of the round. So it's one of these double-edged swords where you kind of want to be recognised as being in the tie of the round, but you also don't want it to be on telly, because I don't want to be going to Fir Park on a Sunday lunchtime for a cup tie. You want to be going at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, that south stand completely packed to Hearts fans. Hopefully get, you know, an extra 1,000 Motherwell fans on the gate if we can, just because of the, you know, just the glamour of the cup and the fact it's a big match. So it's one of those ones, you know, it would be nice to be on telly. It'd be nice to be recognised as being in one of the big ties. But on the flip side, you know, you want that Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff.
What's the thoughts on there being 3 out of the 4 quarterfinals televised? It seems a bit overkill and takes away the special nature of the Scottish Cup, particularly at the last eight stage, where you want as many games at 3 o'clock as possible. Perhaps some people are keeping an eye on the events elsewhere and who you could potentially get in the last four. Having all four games kick off at different times seems to spoil it somewhat for me, I think.
Be honest, that is what it is. Generally, in recent times, we've not really got into the quarterfinals, so it's not really been an issue. My interest has long since waned after we've been knocked out by whoever, but no, it is what it is. You take the positives out of it, but you can. From the meagre deal that we probably have, is it's still something like $87,500 or something you get, if you're featured live. So we take that if that's the case. If we're featured at 3 o'clock on Saturday, then all the better. If we happen to be one of the live games, then we have to just lump it. The consolation is, I suppose, that it is at home. Although having said that, you know, a day in Tynecastle for the Scottish Cup would have been a good day out as well. But it is what it is. I mean, we've had these TV deals in place and we have to work around about them for league games. Cup's no different, to be honest.
Yeah, I was possibly overanalyzing that actually. As I heard your response, I thought that's actually the common sense approach to it, but I asked the question, so there's no going back on that one. the fixture against Kilmarnock on Saturday, Jay, Achilles side that are flying high under Steve Clarke. He's done a remarkable job in turning around their fortunes. A team that, when they came to Fir Park earlier on in the season, our pals at Achilles supporters were very much fearing the worst. Lee McCulloch lost his job due to their poor form. Steve Clarke comes in a very ambitious appointment, and it's one that's paid off, hasn't it? It's turned around the personnel, it's turned around the results, the performances. Kelly will be coming to Fir Park full of confidence that they can go home with the 3 points.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you said an ambitious appointment. I think it was one of those appointments where, certainly myself, you know, when I heard the news, it was one of those ones where you sit up and you take notice, because Steve Clarke is such a well-renowned Scottish coach. He's had a fantastic career in the game, and he is just kind of well-known as being a really fantastic coach, and he's obviously proven in the past and has proven now that he's, you know, a very decent manager as well. So it was a bit of a coup for Kilmarnock, if you like. Certainly an upgrade going from, you know, Lee McCulloch, no offence to Lee, but to go from Lee McCulloch to Steve Clarke is quite an improvement to make. And the job he's done there is absolutely fantastic. You know, they obviously brought in Malumbu, but other than that, you know, they've not really, you know, there hasn't been wheeling and dealing. It's not as though Steve Clarke was brought in and handed a war chest to go out and improve the side. You know, he's still working with the same players that Lee McCulloch had. Obviously, you know, some players have moved on, but you know, he's done such a good job. They're doing so well. Chris Boyd, you know, is back to his old kind of goal scoring antics. Jordan Jones is looking good. You know, they've just got players all over the park now, who will be a threat. And it's a really, really difficult game on Saturday. For me, you know, could possibly be, you know, the clincher or not, depending on whether we want to be in the top six this year. I think at the moment, Kilmarnock for me would be favourites for that, because they're obviously hitting form at the right time. And I think if they win at Fir Park on Saturday, I would suggest it's you know, six places Kilmarnock's to lose. So I think if we've got any kind of aspirations to finish in the top six this season, it's a game we need to win. But that's going to be far more difficult than maybe it would be in other seasons, because Kilmarnock are a completely different animal. But that said, you know, we are in form. I don't want to get too bogged down in Steve Clarke and how good he's doing a job there, because we are in form and they won't fancy coming to Fir Park. We've shown so far this year that we're almost back to where we were at the start of the season last year. You know, we've spoke at length about how those three games against Celtic seem to have had such a negative impact, and I think we're seeing that. You know, the break, for as much as we slated it on here, the break has come at such an ideal time. Well, probably not an ideal time for us. It would have been nice to be earlier because we had such a poor December, but you know, we've came back for that. Completely different side from the team that was losing games and going on a horrible run in December. We look back playing football, back scoring goals. Yes, the long ball sometimes comes in a wee bit too much for some people's, including myself. But, you know, we're battling hard, we're creating chances, we're winning games, and we're showing that never say die attitude that served us so well earlier in the season. So it's actually got all the kind of makings of a really good game on Saturday. It will be a very difficult one. It will certainly be the hardest test, I think, that we've had for some weeks, because I wouldn't consider, you know, Easter Road and Tynecastle were, of course, really, really difficult places to go. But those are games that you can, you know, kind of look at with hope rather than expectation. This is a home game against a side that we're challenging for the top six. And I think it'll be a really, really difficult game. But we're in form, and when you take that form into the game, the confidence we've got, the momentum we've got, and when you've got guys like Curtis Main scoring goals, then it's a game we can win.
Yeah, I think that's a pivotal point by Jay there, that you don't want to get too bogged down in Kilmarnock. They, for all they're in great form, we've made a very positive start to 2018. We've got guys that have come into the squad and have done very well. There's guys also who have rediscovered some of their spark and early season form that served us so well. So we're in good shape, and I noticed an interesting stat as well, that it's the improvement in their home form that has seen our league placing improve dramatically. So that we've turned Fir Park into a wee bit of a fortress again, which was a complaint of mine for the last couple of seasons, that teams were turning up at Fir Park and finding it far too easy to come away with the 3 points. That's certainly not been the case this season.
The only defeat really would be Hamilton, you're right, it was all single goals, I believe, with the exception of Hamilton, and even then I would say there's a kind of mitigating factor in that the first half was as comfortable a game as we've had all season, and that the turning point was the penalty decision against us. So you take that out, and you're quite right, the home form has been, you know, certainly up on what it's been in the previous season, for sure.
Yeah, that's obviously crucial, though, isn't it, Jay? That you make yourself as hard to beat as you possibly can at home, take as many points, and then I guess the aim is to scrape the odd win on the road, which we've managed to do this season. Coming, springing to mind, great wins at like the Dens Park and Pittodrie, they've pushed you even further, but home games are your bread and butter.
Oh, aye, that's it. I mean, for a club like Motherwell, if you can, you know, be consistently winning or at least getting, you know, points on the board at Fir Park, and going away to certain places, yes, there's no team in there. The top flight in Scotland that you would go to in an away game and expect to win. You know, very few teams in Scotland can be in that position. Every game when you're going away from home is really, really difficult. But if you can be in the kind of habit of winning home games and notching up the odd 3 or 1 point on the road, then you're going to have a successful season by, you know, a club like Motherwell standards. And it's certainly, if it's something that we can do from now until the split, then we can be in amongst it when it comes to the, you know, the top six. Interestingly enough, I noticed someone on Payne Bovril earlier, I think it was, talking about how whether, you know, they've just been so enraptured by the cup runs that we've had, they don't actually really see the top six as being that kind of big a deal anymore, which I thought was interesting. And I kind of agree to a certain degree. You know, if we were to, you know, reach maybe the quarterfinals or the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, or, you know, who knows, going to the final and possibly win it, having already been on a fantastic journey earlier on in the season in the League Cup and finished, you know, 7th or 8th, well clear of relegation, that would still be a fantastic season. So it's interesting to see that we've kind of went full circle, you know, and there's been so many years recently where we've been, you know, up at the top end of the table, finishing second, finishing third, getting into European qualifiers, but just being absolutely shite in cup competitions. And it just seems that, you know, we've been deprived of some really good cup runs for so long that this season, you know, a lot of my Millwall fans seem quite happy, quite content to be a bottom six side, albeit not struggling with relegation, you know, for the sake of the cup journeys that we've been on, and hopefully we'll continue to go on, you know, against Hearts and beyond.
I think that's when you have the cup runs and like getting to the final, there's always been great play made by the club about how the cup competitions can generate finance for us. And I think when you've perceived to have already done what you would hope to achieve, perhaps, in terms of getting your prize money through getting to the cup final and the associated benefits from, you know, gate receipts and all the rest of it, then it perhaps takes a little of the pressure off the team in pushing for the top half. I agree with you, it's not the be all and end all. From memory, one of the key things about getting there is that it just completely removes you from any kind of chance that you do get dragged in to anything in the bottom half, which in a couple of occasions, given the tightness of the league, there could be anybody from like 7th place to 11th as potentially having, you know, being in the kind of playoff spot. So it has the benefit, obviously, if you could get in the top 6 and lose every game post-split, but at least you're not going to get relegated through it. So there is that kind of, you know, element of just ensuring that it's impossible for you to go down. But, you know, I agree the importance is kind of, for me, tempered slightly by the fact that we've already generated the finance that you would maybe hope to benefit from a 5th place or a 6th place rather than a 7th or 8th place finish.
Yeah, I don't know to what extent you don't look at the top 6 as the promised land, I suppose, particularly when you're not going to be in contention for these European places, which, let's face it, is practically impossible even at this relatively early juncture in the season. You're not going to be able to challenge for Europe, so it's just it's a safety net more than anything else. I would completely agree with that. The upshot is as well that you tend to find that a lot of these teams, the top 6, are, they've got a bit more to play for if you're that 6th place side and are basically just happy to be there. So it's it can sometimes make for a few pretty demoralising days in terms of results. So we'll wait and see. But I think the crucial bit about how good this run's been at the start of the year is that we are beginning to put a wee bit of distance between ourselves and the likes of Aki's, Thistle, Ross County at the foot of the table, which was beginning to become a bit of a case for concern, particularly at the back end of last year. Guys, I don't think we've got much else to cover for this week. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers. No problem. Pleasure.
Jay, you can go and enjoy your dinner now, mate.
I'm already halfway through it, mate. Who says guys can't even wait to ask? I've made two dinners, served them both, and I'm halfway through mine, all through this podcast.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. She put $900 on the 5th horse in the 6th race. I think his name was Chips Ahoy. We came in 6 lengths ahead. We spent the whole next week getting high. I thought that she hit on some tip that she got from some other boy. We were overjoyed. Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
can tell which horse is gonna finish in first. Some nights of painkillers make the pain even worse. Came in 6 lengths ahead, we spent the whole next weekend high. I love this girl, but I can't tell when she's having a good time.